This is Marketing Jam, a show featuring the brightest minds in marketing.
As we get going into our show, I want to talk about SEO quickly. This whole search engine optimization thing. People are frustrated by it, confused by it, and probably not really getting the straight goods about how it works. Back when we outsource our SEO, we're often confused when we get the reports back. It seemed like a dark art. They were rubbing some sort of oil on our websites and supposedly magic was happening. When we started using Ahrefs, it was a game changer. The reports we got, the clarity on site ranking for terms, and really the transparency and understanding between off-site and on-site SEO was really helpful. Today, for all of our clients, we provide Ahrefs reporting and use the tool to audit sites. It's the premier SEO tool, and you can have the confidence you're getting the top quality tool that provides incredible support and resources to help you with your SEO for your brand or the clients you work with. Check out ahrefs.com today.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Marketing Jam. I am so thrilled to invite you to today's episode because I have a guest here that I've been so thrilled and excited to have on. It's been a long time waiting. Keith Henry, you are a man in wanting, traveling the world, traveling the country, advocating for an amazing organization, the Indigenous Tourism Association of Canada, which you are the CEO of. Yeah. Tell me about how did you get into what you're doing? Like, how does one stumble into becoming the CEO of this incredible organization?
Well, honestly, I agree with your enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. It's been an exceptional job for me. It's funny, I'll just give a bit of background how I fell into this.
Because
I say I fell into Indigenous tourism.
Yeah.
So I'm 18 myself. I'm an Indigenous person. Yeah. I have a degree in education. Cool. But what happened to me in the late 90s, I got pushed into a CEO role for an Indigenous organization in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
So what happens, I ended up becoming known to being a strong administrator. And then that was in Saskatchewan. I moved to BC in 2003. And in 2008 or so, an organization came calling to help them basically administer, which was at that time Aboriginal Tourism BC. Mm-hmm. I had volunteered on some committees for them. They were implementing a tourism strategy. And I remember thinking, I've done a lot of Indigenous tourism work, Indigenous economic development work in my life. And I hadn't really looked at tourism seriously. I thought, geez, you know, that's just a summertime thing. Yeah. And, you know, it's just kind of this fun thing, right? It wasn't. And I remember being on that committee. It started about 2005. And I started to question myself thinking, geez, tourism is a great industry. Yeah. First of all, yes, it's fun and all things, but it's very powerful for our Indigenous people for a lot of reasons. And it started really, it planted a seed with me. And over my work in that committee attending meetings, I started to realize, you know, if the right opportunity came, I think I would get more involved in Indigenous tourism. So it's that journey started in 2005. I formally joined the organization in BC in 2008, and then I took on the national role.
Yeah.
What that position allowed me to do was really to really get a handle on what I was already thinking, my values, my thought process around why Indigenous tourism is so important for cultural revitalization, but also economic development, also these other great things.
Yeah.
So in that role, I started to realize what was missing in the country. Yep. I joined a number of partners, and we had to reform the national organization that I work for today from scratch. There was no national voice at that in 2008, but you know, we could see what was missing. Yep. We could see there was, and so we started to realize, you know, tourism in Canada's multiple layers, very significant for a lot of economies, whether people know it or not. And I just could see that we needed to do more if we wanted to take Indigenous tourism to the next level. So 2015, I became in this role, and I've been there ever since. And it's absolutely one of the best things I've done. It's been a lot of work, but it's when I see the power of when we do it right in terms of marketing and development and helping communities guide their way through a decision process, it feels it's pretty rewarding.
And from a language perspective, using the terms Indigenous versus Aboriginal and vice versa, what is the difference and what has maybe been the change in semantics?
Prior to a few years ago, we were all sort of using the term in Canada Aboriginal. And the reason why we did, right, as many of us know, when the Constitution was repatriated in 1982, part of that was in Section 35, you know, we just defined the concept Aboriginal as being First Nation, Inuit, and Métis.
Yeah.
So, you know, since the 80s and 90s and 2000s, there was a political movement to just use the word Aboriginal. Some within First Nations and Inuit and Métis communities still wanted to use other language, you know, whatever. There's been a lot of debate, but that term really became the universal term, especially in the 2000s. But, you know, politically, a few years ago, when the current federal government came into power in 2015, they started to incorporate just using the word indigenous. Okay. So it was more of a, I think, a, just a groundswell of a political and social support that people felt indigenous was a more powerful word.
Okay.
And for tourism, actually, that worked well for us because most visitors, whether you're domestic or international, they think of the word Aboriginal. If you ask 99 U.S. visitors, which is a lot of our market, you know, chances are 98 of them are going to say, well, Aboriginal, I thought you were talking about Australia. So there's a lot of confusion on which term, but, you know, today I think Indigenous is the right term.
Okay. Yeah. And the organization Indigenous Tourism of BC, is there that for every province and territory in our country?
Right. So we've been, so the short answer is no, there isn't. In 2008, when I was, it was then called the Aboriginal Tourism Association of BC, it's not, as you say, Indigenous Tourism BC. There was about four organizations, that's it. There was one in Quebec, Quebec Aboriginal Tourism. There was the Yukon First Nations Culture and Tourism Association. There was Indigenous Tourism, Aboriginal Tourism BC, pardon me. And then there was kind of some work in some other provinces, like, but it was really, was not well organized and it wasn't really helping grow the industry in a strategic sort of plan for that province or territory. So there was three that I would say were up and running, and then there was some, I said four because there was some, kind of some work in Ontario and a few other places that was kind of off the ground.
Okay.
But, you know, one of our goals as a national organization is, yes, we'll take on the national work, but we need to make sure we establish those provincial and territorial partners, right? So today I'm proud to say we've got essentially nine organizations up and running across the country.
Amazing.
In basically the last 3-4 years, we put, part of our work has been to really get that coordinating industry body in every province and territory. We've still got a ways to go, but now we have, you know, Indigenous Tourism Alberta, there's an Indigenous Tourism Ontario, Nova Scotia Indigenous Tourism Enterprise Network, Indigenous Tourism Association, PEI, you know, so in, Manitoba Indigenous Tourism Association. So we've been able to incubate and help people understand. It wasn't just for setting up for the sake, like there's a very important role those provincial territorial organizations do to for obviously domestic and marketing partnerships with provincial and territorial market organizations, municipal. There's roles for all of us, you know, and so just getting through that has been it's been quite it's been exciting, but it's created all sorts of other challenges, but we're getting there.
So when you meet with, say, like Destination BC or Destination Canada, and they're kind of promoting tourism in general, what distinguishes how you market and how you promote your services, the Indigenous services, compared to maybe sort of mainstream ones or ones that aren't Indigenous?
Well, what we try and we really just want to work in partnership with the tourism sector. What the problem, Indigenous tourism is not new to Canada. In fact, it's been tried since really, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. There's been a real strong political push to grow this thing called Indigenous or Aboriginal tourism, whatever it was. And in fact, there's been four or five national bodies that were tried and started and failed. And so, but what we've had to do is really define how do we work together to grow this. We're not here to take over Destination Canada. We're not here to take over Destination BC or Travel Alberta. But you know, you see how the non-Indigenous network works, right? So you got Travel Alberta; they have a certain market they focus on for their Alberta industry. They do a lot of advocacy. They help guide the provincial government with laws. These are important things that have to, that can't be dismissed for Indigenous communities or our businesses. So we work in partnership. So our goal is to, like, so for example, Destination Canada, we've signed an MOU. So we've agreed that we're going to focus with them on helping expand international markets is one of the things we're going to do. So Destination Canada works in roughly 13 markets. Well, they were obviously in this new world where we'll see where that all ends up. But what we were doing is we were making sure we were bringing and we were, I guess, certifying export ready Indigenous owned experiences, whether it was hotels, cultural centers, outdoor adventure. And we would go with them and we'd work, okay, we're going to, they have a trade show in say the US or Australia or the UK or Germany. And we would work with them in those shows on what kind of content to bring, which businesses would be best for those markets. The way Indigenous tourism was done years ago was they would just kind of throw a brochure together. Wasn't even really sure if it was an authentic experience. Wasn't even sure if it was Indigenous owned. And those things really lost social license in our Indigenous communities and with our industry. So we're making sure that never happens again. And so these are the kind of things we do. So, and for example, you know, and let's take an example of where our provincial territorial partners are. So a place like Indigenous Tourism BC, we want them to work really closely with Destination BC. Things like when there's Canada's West, well, okay, Indigenous Tourism BC, Indigenous Tourism Alberta, make sure you bring the members into that. It's more of a North American domestic market show. Let's really work on how we help you prepare for that. So we provide some resources for that. Like we partner with them. And so there's different roles and responsibilities in that whole matrix of layers of partners.
And when it comes to a specific city or community, the DMOs are supplied funding by the hotels, correct? Right. Is that similar from a provincial or national level?
No, it's really challenging for us, right? Okay. And so fortunately, we have current, I think this country has embraced that we need Indigenous tourism. So, you know, there's a lot of political movements for Indigenous rights and title, but this really isn't about that. This is about, you know, real economic development and cultural sustainability through tourism. And so what I'm glad to see is that we see so much support from federal, provincial, territorial governments to say, yes, we'll invest in this outside of those hotel tax structures because we don't qualify. Mm. Our communities don't qualify. There's certain legislation around those taxes that we just don't, as a destination, we don't meet those criteria. Right. Our industry, and when I say that just for your audience, it's about 1,800 businesses in the country. Yeah. It's come a long ways. We've seen a lot of businesses grow. Mm. So that structure just doesn't work for us. So what we've gone to government through the work of our organization is to really explain how do we need to invest properly. So sure, we work with Federal Minister Jolie, who's our Federal Tourism Minister. Yeah. We work with Small Business Minister Ng. Yeah. But our importing funding partner comes really from Indigenous Services Canada. Okay. So they invest and then we use those funds to leverage with all these layers of partners. And then we really help grow the industry through that way.
That's amazing. Yeah. So if someone is watching the show both internationally or locally here in Canada, how can they find an Indigenous outlet to go to that would be like, hey, I want to start supporting A, the industry, and B, I want to try something different that isn't what I've always done before?
Well, this is new times, and so what we've done is to help people find an experience, for example, we've launched a new website called Destination Indigenous.
Okay.
And it's really to make sure we guide visitors to find the type of experience that is actually open and gives them the right kind of authentic experience. Great. So we really it was interesting because I don't mean to go off script too much, but if I can say in the old days,
no, please,
I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but
10
years ago, Destination Canada was then called the Canadian Tourism Commission.
Okay.
They would decide through their processes, you know, what kind of Indigenous or Aboriginal businesses they would feature. Mm-hmm. And often they may have been experiences, but they weren't Indigenous owned and operated. Mm-hmm. And it's not that that's a bad thing. Yeah. I'm saying, but in our world, that's not really authentic. Mm-hmm. First of all, ownership is part of authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, we need to make sure we're managing the message, the experience. Yeah. We don't want our culture Disneyfied. So we've been really reshaping that. And tools like where we've gone now with the website with Destination Indigenous, if you go on you go to indigenoustourism.ca, you can see a lot of the existing experiences, but specifically in this new world where, you know, tourism is recalibrating, Destination Indigenous is the best place because it really outlines every province, every territory. There's interactive map, there's restaurants, there's accommodations, and there's a lot of our businesses that will need everyone's support now more than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the pandemic has affected tourism. We were the first hit, the hardest hit, and we'll be the last to recover. So we know Canada's a great, beautiful country. So we need people now more than ever to rally around finding where those gem experiences are. And just, we're not asking for a handout. Come and enjoy the experience, you know?
Yeah.
You know, next time you're looking for something in your backyard, whether you're here in British Columbia or anywhere in Canada, like a lot of Canadians don't even know, Indigenous people in the way that is in a positive and in constructive manner, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to the media, all it is negative stuff about Indigenous stories, unfortunately. Yeah. And we think we're a great conduit to truly experiencing reconciliation.
Yeah, and change the script.
Exactly, yeah.
So, Keith, I'm not gonna ask you to name who your favorite child is, because that's an impossible question to answer.
Yeah.
But maybe tell me some attributes of some of your members, some places that people might not be aware of, or just some places that you wanna touch on that you were like, man, I'm a fan of these, I'm a fan of everyone, but here's a few I wanna bring up.
I get that all the time, because we have some amazing world-class places to go to in Canada. And so I'm just gonna give you some examples.
Yes,
okay.
Great.
All right, so I'm gonna take one from Eastern Canada. A few years ago, I took a group to the Torngats, and the Torngats It's called the Torngats Base Camp. It's a Inuit-owned destination product. Wow. It's in partnership with Parks Canada. Far northern eastern shores of Labrador.
Wow.
Really exclusive. You go in there and it's like you're stepping into, if you think of, the only way I can explain to people is imagine going to Africa the first time in the Serengeti and seeing all the animals and the wildlife. It's like that there. We flew in and we flew up there, took quite a trip to get up to the northern part of that part of the country.
Yeah.
And we had to take a boat way into the base camp. And there's these beautiful little dome pods and they have a kitchen area.
Yeah.
And it was like, it would be like a 4 or 5 day experience. But, you know, at the evening, the northern lights were incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
Like it was like, you didn't need to watch TV. You just looked up in the sky. If it's not cloudy, it was amazing what you would see.
Yeah.
The nightlife. But there was polar bears.
Wow.
There's the Inuit culture. They take you to all the local historic sites. I mean, I took a group with me, and I know I'm not doing justice to this right now, but when we left, we debriefed with everyone, and there wasn't a single non-Indigenous person that didn't, like for some reason, it was such an emotional reaction, change their lives.
Yeah.
Like when they hear Indigenous people talk about protect the land, protect the culture, and then you go to a place like that, it's really rare. And so that was one.
Okay.
Another one, if you like a more urban location, you know, I love going to my friends in Wendake, Quebec.
Yeah.
They have an amazing hotel,
okay.
an amazing cultural center,
nice.
Bike pass, outdoor adventure.
Wow.
They got some of the best restaurant, local Indigenous cuisine, right? And so their community of Wendake has really embraced tourism.
Wow.
They're right outside Quebec City.
Okay.
And it, I just can, like the hotel, between everything, it's just, it's a, like, I've taken a personal holiday there. I mean, I absolutely love it there.
Wow.
I've taken my family there.
Yeah.
They love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's those. If I come here to BC, there's countless places in BC that I love. I didn't mean to skip any over other parts of the country because I know others might watch this, but you know, there's a place, you know, I went to Spirit Bear Lodge last year, Klemtu.
Yeah.
North Central Coast, British Columbia. I mean, the lodge, went out and saw whales. We went and looked for the spirit bear.
Yeah.
I mean, these are, I can't put the words. Like, if you really want an adventure, we have adventure. If you want to go see a cultural center, well, you know, you hear in BC, Squamish Little Cultural Center.
Yeah.
Right down here in Vancouver, we've got Squatch Eyes Lodge, the hotel downtown.
Yeah.
There's so many of these gem products. You know, you could go for culinary food at Salmon and Bannock in downtown Vancouver. You know, and the thing is that people don't realize, I find a lot of people that haven't experienced these businesses, they don't, like, these are really world-class. Like, they're professional. Like, you know, Salmon and Bannock, if people looked on TripAdvisor over the years, they've always been in the top. They've been number one at different times for culinary experiences in Vancouver.
Yeah.
They've been in the top 10 so many times. These are really world, like, and so I just say to people, look, I find it amazing how many of my other professional networks, I say, oh, you're going to, you know, Saskatchewan, or you're going to, oh, you want to go see Wanuskamun. They've never been there. It's a world-class historic site, you know? And once they go, they realize how much they love it. So I have lots of places to far north, you know.
Yeah.
I don't, I'm trying to not leave anyone out.
Yeah.
But I spent time I took another colleague up to a place in the Yukon.
Yeah.
And it was another sort of lodge experience. And it was up in a certain territory. And I just remember we went there, we went fishing, and it was just, and I think what he was surprised me, the only reason I bring that as an example in the Yukon is that, you know, people think they're going to get like Indigenous culture forced down on them. Like they think, oh, we're going to an Indigenous. No, the lodge there is owned by, you know, just a really beautiful Indigenous family, local Indigenous family to the area. It's their land. It's their area. They take you on a guided tour if you want.
Wow.
And it's just a place to just enjoy life. Like it's just one of those places where you get out in the lodge, there's a beautiful fire pit, you look off, the lake is crystal blue, you can just sit there and enjoy the scenery for, you know, like 4 or 5 days. So these are things that, you know, it's in Kluane Lake, it's that area in there, and it's just, I can't say to people enough, I think a lot of people don't realize how relaxing and how, you know, awe-inspiring a lot of our experiences are in Canada.
And with the trends of Canadians doing more local destinations for whatever reason, this is a chance for them to see it.
You know, Canadians have been our overall largest number of visitors to our business. About 55% of our business has been Canadians.
Okay.
But the reality is that still so many Canadians don't know. So this year it's got to be 100%, it looks like.
Yeah.
So we need Canadians. Like, we want people to realize there's amazing experiences are now available to you. You know, some of these businesses I'm talking about only opened to really international. They only sold to the trade.
Wow.
They were only working with international markets.
Okay.
Now it's open to everyone. And you know, these are, as I keep saying, they're Canada to me. I've traveled the world looking at Indigenous tourism. ITAC is really seen as a world leader.
Yeah.
I've been into the U.S. Indigenous tourism experiences, South American Indigenous experiences, Central America, Australia, New Zealand, and I really feel we have like some of the you know, like the best experiences right here in Canada. And it's funny, at one time when I was first involved in Aboriginal or Indigenous tourism, I sort of thought other markets had a leg up on us.
Yeah.
And now that I've been there and worked with organizations from those countries, I'm like, no, actually, we have a lot to be proud of here in Canada.
Really cool.
Hey, are you having trouble tracking inbound phone calls from your website or ads? CallRail gives you the call tracking you need to measure the success of your marketing efforts in real time. Discover how many calls you receive from your Google ads, organic searches, social media efforts, and so much more. But that's not the only reason we use CallRail. CallRail seamlessly integrates your call and conversion data with over 700 marketing tools and platforms, including Google Analytics and Salesforce, to fuel deeper insights automatically. Start your free trial today with CallRail.
Cool. And so families, maybe that are listening, parents or uncles that are cool and take their nephews and nieces out, those that want to either educate, you know, their families about, you know, the move to say, hey, we should empower and educate people more about the BIPOC community, the I within BIPOC, this is one opportunity to educate.
Absolutely. I mean, this, you can go out, you can spend a few hours, you can spend days. You can take in as much or just enjoy the experience. You know, it's, so I think Indigenous experiences, and if you're the uncle, wants to take your kids out, there's cultural centers all over this country that are available and open right now. You know, like I said, there's even here, you know, I said the Squamish Local Cultural Center. We have, if you go into the interior, you know, you've got a number of businesses that are open in the interior in Okanagan. So it just really, I think if people use the guideline of Destination Indigenous, going to that site and then maybe leapfrogging their way through some online, just, I know everyone likes to research.
Yeah.
You know, but what we've said is those businesses on those websites, they are the, we know that they're operational. We know they're a place that their hours are open, they're trustable, they're professional, they've got their authenticity pieces all together.
Great.
You know, we just encourage people. I think you can spend anywhere from a few hours, an hour to a week with any of these experiences of your choosing, and we can help guide you in that process.
Even go to Fort Langley and have a Bannock at Leland
Cafe. Right here,
Fort that's
Langley.
Okay.
But being a Métis person, there's some Métis history right here, but there's also a strong First Nation with you know, the Leland Cafe and of course the work that they do here.
And even going there, just being able to see the art, eat Bannock maybe for the first time for some people, could be a great experience. And it economically empowers people as well versus, you know.
Well, I mean, you take the cafe here, the local, what it does for the local First Nations community here, create some jobs, create some economic spinoff.
Yeah.
But more than the economics of it, because there's no denying they're there. What I love seeing in a community like this, or where I see where it's done right across the country, it's that sense of pride in place.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up Métis in Saskatchewan, and I have to say in Prince Albert, where I grew up, there was not a lot of sense of pride in place. Like, the world has changed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm old enough now to see what's changed. And I say that the world's come a long ways. You know, as much as we still like to point fingers, and as much as people don't seem to remember what it was like 30, 40 years ago, I do. And I think that there's still things to be fixed, no doubt about it. But to see where we've come from, and what I personally believe is that things like Indigenous tourism, like right here, Lilam Cafe, or where the people can touch and feel, you know, go through the sensory experience.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what is this Bannock thing?
Yeah.
And when they taste it, you know, the first, depending, well, sorry, as Métis, my grandma made Bannock. It was thick, heavy, and baked.
Yeah.
A lot of First Nations on the coast, it's all fried, right?
Yeah.
And so we didn't have a lot of fried, but so I've always had this, I find it interesting to see the different nations and the way they do their Bannock. It's all slightly different.
Yeah.
But also how much that's consistent with other countries, I would say. But even when people come and experience it here, like locally, just other Canadians or people have, they're always like, oh, they compare it to an English muffin or like everyone's got a form of that kind of like food, right? So they realize maybe we aren't so different. You know, that's what I take out of that. I mean, other people may not, but I take that to always say, the more we realize we have common things, the more we look at each other as just These were our tools. These were part of our culture, yeah. Not much different than yours.
Yeah.
I think the more barriers we break down, I really think that's really powerful. That's why, yes, tourism is great economics, but yeah. It's actually that cultural revitalization, that really addressing in a soft way across this country and in the world, the things like reconciliation and that.
Yeah.
Indigenous tourism is really powerful for that.
There's been a big move amongst marketers, CMOs, and agencies to figure out how do we make sure that our marketing is diversified. It sounds like maybe one of the pieces of advice could be, hey, if you are a marketer or CMO, maybe visit some of these destinations.
Well, I see it across Canada right now, whether it's at the private sector or just the layers of marketing organizations. Yeah. But that's why ITAC and our Indigenous Tourism BC partners and partners like that are so important. We want to guide marketers in that process. We're not here to take your job over. We want to make sure that you don't trip up. I'll give you an example where we're coming out of this pandemic, and I know marketers are always looking for a clever way, but we saw an example just recently where a marketer, and I won't say where, but in a historic site in British Columbia, said, oh, they came out with the tagline, surviving pandemics since 1862.
No.
I know that they thought they were being cheeky and clever, but they didn't realize with an Indigenous lens on that, that's a very hurtful thing to the local, because they don't realize that, although that particular historic site and there was a community there evolved and they did survive, a lot of the local Indigenous population in the area, like 60% of the population was decimated by pandemics at that time. So, what I'd say is sometimes tourism has to, and the marketers especially have to be careful that they get it right. We don't want them to not do anything, but we want to make sure they're guided with the right partners to get the right messaging. And that's where you need that partnership. Whether it's, like DMOs, I say to so many people, do you have an Indigenous person on your board? Is there a governance? Is there a business person on your board?
Yeah.
When your marketing team does their work, do they go check in with an Indigenous partner to make sure that these messages are appropriate? These are the things like we want people to we need everyone marketing. Indigenous Tourism Association of Canada and our partners don't have enough marketing dollars.
Yeah.
So we need everyone pushing, but let's make sure we put the right push the right content and the right messaging, because that example, in our world, I call it our moccasin telegraph. That literally went out with 5 minutes after people were slamming it. There was a lot of anger.
Yeah.
And what it does is it hurts social license
yes.
for all of tourism, including Indigenous tourism, when what we're trying to do as an industry. So we got to make sure we get that right. And over the years, there's been so many examples of, where Canada or province or territories or municipal partners or private partners have thought, oh, we're going to do the right thing here. We're going to just get an Indigenous perspective, but it wasn't relevant. Mm. And it was sort of misfired and it just caused so much backlash. And it's getting less and less, but that example just happened like days ago.
Wow.
So we still have a ways to go. My message is, again, we want marketers to go get out there and market Indigenous experiences, include our people in your content, in your visual imaging, in your story about area, but make sure you got the right partners guiding you in that process. Cause you don't want to make a good intention can turn really bad really fast.
And living in a time of like cancel culture and social media where people just can be bombarded, maybe those that are timid or nervous to approach someone who's Indigenous, what was your advice to say, who can you approach and how do you go about doing that?
Well, in tourism, that's one of the values of having an Indigenous Tourism Association of Canada or our provincial territorial partners.
Yeah.
If you're not sure, you can send us an email. We'll guide you to the right partner to go. Don't just call up the local Indigenous elected leadership and say, hey, I've got an idea, because a lot of people still do that kind of approach. I think that's helpful, but I really think if it's an inch, like, don't immerse yourself in Indigenous politics, immerse yourself with the right Indigenous industry partners.
Okay.
And that would be really important message, especially in tourism, because I see a lot of things get sort of confusing and tied up in different political issues.
Yeah.
But we don't want people we don't want paralysis by analysis. Yeah. We need to get behind good marketing work. But I would say find the right Indigenous industry partner. And if worse comes to worse, you can always reach out through Indigenous Tourism Association of Canada. Okay. We can guide you through some of those partners.
That's awesome. Yeah. Maybe what's a campaign that you've seen one of your partners do that you thought was really clever, really interesting, and just kind of showed the creativity of the Indigenous people here in Canada?
Well, I've seen different video campaigns with our partners. I've seen a lot about, the history and story, very powerful, emotional videos.
Yeah.
But driving it to the direct to sales has been really lacking still.
Yeah.
Like we have, I love a lot of our indigenous content.
Yeah.
People love watching our videos.
Yep.
On social media, we like even if ITAC or say Quebec Aboriginal Tourism or one of our individual businesses puts a video, you know it's going to get, you know, hundreds of thousands of views.
Yep.
It's going to have lots of likes. But at the end of the day, what's the call to action to getting someone to motivate who maybe isn't a regular customer to come on over?
Yeah.
So we're still working on that.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So I'm going to say this. I see a lot of great initiatives, a lot of great efforts.
Yeah.
I'm very proud to at least see people taking a kick at the can.
Yeah.
But what we love to do, non-Indigenous marketing partners love to do, we get great content. We get a really good storyteller or a really strong visual of regalia, whichever nation it's from. And people love that. The world loves to see that.
Yeah.
But my challenge to everyone is, but how do we drive that to an actual person to that at Leland Cafe or at Squamish Local Cultural Center or at Squatch Eyes Lodge?
Yeah.
So that we haven't really, in my opinion, really totally solved that. And including me, like, you know, for all my wisdom here, I mean, it's my challenge too. So it's making sure we get more effective campaigns to really guide direct to, I guess, the sale.
Okay.
Yeah.
And those that are maybe looking for a job right now, right? Things have changed and they're looking to kind of change the area of marketing that they're in.
Yeah, yeah.
What's a good way to get into tourism marketing?
Well, I think, with Indigenous tourism, there is a lot of marketing opportunities because there's organizations like ours that always have different marketing. And there's a lot of non-Indigenous and Indigenous people work.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of Indigenous trained marketing people. So that's always been a challenge for us as an industry. But I would say there's organizations like ours that also drive campaigns, they create campaigns, but it's especially with a lot of our businesses themselves, they often are hard pressed to find really effective marketers, which is why I'm saying that. I've seen some great campaigns out there, but unfortunately not Indigenous focused.
Yeah.
So I would just say that I think that, when you're looking at what we've just released with Destination Indigenous, I would say to people, look at the way we're creating and we're curating content.
Yeah.
There's different, obviously you have the different marketing initiatives.
Yeah.
You have travel trade, wholesalers, you've got direct to consumer, you've got media. So, you've got to figure out what's your strength, what's your area of expertise, and then do you want to work with an Indigenous product or experience? And there's lots of great content examples.
Yeah.
But the best marketers in the future are going to be the ones that figure out how do we continue to drive really effective sales.
Okay. And people that are listening and watching that are in your shoes, what are you finding the most productive way to communicate to your stakeholders? Is it LinkedIn these days? Is it email? Is it YouTube? Or where are you finding that people are actually responding and being like, Keith, I watched that, I read that, I listened to that. And how do you get hold of these stakeholders in a way that will engage them?
Well, we there's things that we do. So the most effective, we've actually got an email distribution network.
Okay.
So it's if you're on indigenoustourism.ca, you'll be prompted to sign up. We actually get a tremendous amount of feedback.
Nice.
Just that we do weekly sort of touching with our members.
Nice.
But that's just sort of the corporate stuff.
Yeah.
I would say that, social media continues to be really strong, whether it's Facebook and our Facebook group. For myself personally, what I noticed is LinkedIn actually has been one of the most effective for me.
Nice.
Like when I reach out to our Indigenous tourism networks, not just our members, that's just a very broad, as we know, a professional network.
Yeah.
So I would say for ITAC, if you want to reach out with our industry, I would say it's about making sure you're a partner, you wanted to share something with us. You would send that to us in a really simple way that we can cut, paste, share it into our network. And we've done that for a lot of partners, right? So it's really about shaping the kind of message. And there is, I would say that, or the other ways, you can go right on our Facebook page, you can write on there. And we do have a active LinkedIn, but LinkedIn hasn't been as busy as our Facebook.
Yeah.
And then, we've got Instagram, but Instagram's been very good for content.
Yeah.
But in actual conversation engagement, I would say it's probably through our Facebook more than anything right now.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Keith. This has been a long time coming and a real honor to have you here. I'm excited for people to check out more Indigenous destinations right across the country. Those that are in the UK, in the USA, wherever you're listening from, the day you can come to Canada and visit, we're excited. And those that are Canadian, check out what's in your own backyard.
Yeah. Well, it's thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, of course.
And I hope that I hope I've inspired people to listen. We say everyone, explore. This year it's going to be We all want to escape from home, right? Yeah. That we all want to get away and do something as Canadians. Yeah. And when the borders reopen, we want to welcome everyone back. We had a great network. We have to rebuild a lot of those sales channels, but we, you know, let's escape together. Come learn. We're your friends. Mm-hmm. And when I say we, because I'm Indigenous too. Yeah. You know what? We are partners in this country, but we need us all to work together. And I just hope people give us our industry a second, third, fourth look, and really think as you explore new ideas this summer and in the fall and in the winter.
Yeah,
we've got experiences open all year round. So, you know, I look forward to seeing people.
That's awesome. And any special message for any Indigenous person that's watching, listening, kind of any sort of encouragement or if they want to start a tourism outlet?
I just want to say to our, it's been, you know, COVID-19 and the pandemic has been really tough on our industry. We've seen tremendous challenges. I just say to everyone, just as we've been saying to our network, just, you know, stay strong. We will survive this. We will get through this, and we will rebuild. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, the work we're doing at ITAC, we have a long-term vision and a long-term plan. Our members know that, but don't lose sentiment and don't lose hope around that, because you know, I'm hearing a lot of our, especially our smaller businesses, are really thinking maybe it's time to just sell off and pack it up. And what I'm saying is, trust me, it will come back. Yeah. We just need we need to keep positive. We need to be, you know, and remain open, and we'll find a way to support one another through this.
Yeah, and those that are struggling, I think marketers and anyone listening to the show, to figure out ways they can support the BIPOC community. Here's an incredibly practical way that they can do with their dollars and their feet by just walking down the road or driving to that, you know, near town that has an opportunity for them to check out and experience.
The final piece on that I would say is that, you know, you're right, exactly. Like, you know, sometimes we overthink how we can help.
Yeah.
I say, if you're going to a restaurant, have you thought about trying an Indigenous restaurant? If you're going to a hotel, have you thought of looking to see if there's an Indigenous hotel in the area?
Yeah.
If you want to go out and do an outdoor adventure, have you thought of an Indigenous hotel? Like, we all do these things organically.
Yeah.
All we're asking people to do is just take a moment and say, hey, you know what? I want to try and experience something new. I'm going to try that, you know, there's guided fishing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm going to use an Indigenous guide. I mean, these are things that we all can do just so simply with just a second thought in our mind. And if we can plant that seed, then, you know, we're on our way.
Awesome. Thanks again, Keith.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks everyone for joining us this week on Marketing Jam. And we'll see you next week on The Jam. Thanks for listening to Marketing Jam. If you enjoyed the show, head over to our YouTube or Facebook and give us a thumbs up, and visit iTunes to leave a rating and review. Thanks again, and see you next time.